Hey, Bob, I'd be proud to tell him I was your age.
Over a minute of it, I never really expected to get this far, but I'm thankful for it, over.
And there's a whole lot of the folks that are thankful, too, Ray. But, shoot, you're still a young man, yeah. You just don't kick quite as high as you used to.
Used to do. It just takes longer.
I ain't as old as you, Ray, but I'm the same way. You know, I can do everything I used to, but I can't do it quite as quickly as I used to.
That's all right, too. If you do it a little bit slower, you usually do a better job. Let me get off here, Gary, and you can go on. She said you had somebody else want to drag you, and I'm going to go in and round up a cup of coffee, over.
Hey, you take care. Enjoyed it as always, Ray. Glad Fred come in there, and glad Don got to speak to you at first of the net. Hope you and Miss Edie have a good day tomorrow. What's left of it tonight? Go in there and get your coffee pot fired up, and have you a cup of coffee, and we'll talk to you again real soon. Enjoyed it as always, Ray. Look forward to doing it again. We have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Y'all KI4DOS.
K4ROW, Richard in Greenville. Good evening. I don't have any traffic or rag chew, but I do have one question.
West. Hello, 4 X-ray Bravo, K4XB, Tommy, Southern Greenville County. I'll be negative and negative.
We're DOS in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. I'd like to say good evening to K4ROW, Mr. Richard over in Greenville. Be back to you in just a moment to get your question there, Richard. And K4XB, Mr. Tommy, he's down there in Southern Greenville County. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Tommy. Tell the family we said hello. K4ROW, Richard, what's your question?
I was wondering, I probably used to know this, but how long has this net been on the air?
I do not know, and Ray's probably gone inside. K4SUG, Ray, you still around?
Yeah, I'm here. Jay, I don't remember the exact dates, but I can get them. And it started out somewhere in the early 60s, over.
The reason I ask is first time I ever heard it was I was with Bill Gregory, my old buddies I used to work with, and he had got a walkie-talkie, Wilson walkie-talkie, one year for Christmas about this time of year, and it was in the early 70s, about 1972 or so, when I went to work out there. A couple of years after I went to work, and that was the first time I heard the net, and I was wondering, just got to thinking about old times. Thank you.
I was on it. Bill McCullough was the club president. He was the custodian of the repeater at that time, and we got together and got the repeater going up, and that's another story too. I'll tell it one night when we got a little more time. But we had involved getting this repeater up and running, and a lot of people were involved in it. And Bill McCullum started the net, and it grew from there. And after Bill gave it up, Doc Bedford had it for a while, and then I got the custodian of the repeater and kept it until just a couple of years ago, and I passed it on to my son Johnny, and hopefully he'll have the same amount of cooperation that I had. I had a lot of help in keeping this thing going, and I needed it too, over.
You've been a good one, I tell you. I've been wondering about that for some time, and I wanted to ask it while the historian was still around there. I don't know anybody, but you probably know all that stuff, Ray.
I've got just about all of the records that went with building the repeater to start with, getting it registered and getting a license for it and logged in, and a whole lot of the operation, a whole lot of the O-Net members used to check in with us, and a lot of them are no longer with us. And might be an idea to pass that some of those names along, let people know who was involved in it. A lot of people did went to a lot of effort to make this thing fly, and we won't keep it that way, or.
Well, I appreciate it, Ray, and that'd be a good story one night if you got time to do it. Much obliged, y'all. K4 all day.
And I'm glad somebody is interested in it. I really am. Brings back some old memories if I get my books out and study up a little bit and come up with something. Go ahead, Gary.
Ray, well, I do appreciate you coming in there and telling Richard that. I could not remember about when it started. If memory serves, I think this is one of the longest running 2-meter nets in the country, isn't it?
It's the longest continuously running 2-meter net in the United States, over.
I heard you tell me that before, but I wasn't real sure. But we're glad that it's still going, and appreciate the folks that started it, and appreciate the folks that are continuing to keep it running. And with folks like you, Ray, and old Bill Gregory, and some of the rest of them that come before us, that we're keeping their legacy alive.
Hi, Gary. And this repeater has done a lot of good, too. It was established to begin with as an emergency repeater. Go ahead. You had somebody else wanted to write you. Go ahead and get him and then come back to me.
I'll be back to you in just a minute. You're going to stay out here and talk with us another minute or two. Do we have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet? Then we'll go into the other rag tour. But Al, KI4MLN, down in Malden. Al, what have you been up to?
Comment. I knew it was the longest running net in the country. Ray has said that before. But one thing I remember, which most people probably don't, but I remember it, is around 1974 when one time a repeater broke down, old vacuum tube repeater, and Ray was telling the story. When it was raining outside, they're out there in the rain, was working with 400 volts in the rain. So I'm like, oh, okay, guys. I started laughing because I could see me doing something like that. You know, I was like, okay. But, you know, and he was telling me one time they had to use mobile rigs to keep their gear going, using their mobiles to do it through the transducer. And I was like, well, I'd do something like that, too. You know, but the point is, what people have to understand is, everybody ignores amateur radio because most people don't even understand what it is or why it's there. And it's crazy because people need to understand. The government lets you use the frequency, but we do a lot of work and there's a lot of good things that come out of amateur radio that a lot of people don't even know. And that's what these people need to remember. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of people need to keep people to understand that. And most people don't even know why it's there or what it does. And to me, that's really, really important because, you know, everybody thinks that they don't understand the services we do. There's been a lot of emergency situations in this country that would never have been solved without people really getting killed. For instance, Ray told a story one time, which I kind of found it interesting. There was a plane, and I don't remember the incident, but there was a small plane that was by a mountain and it crashed on the side of the mountain. But the microphone was messed up, but he could see the transmitter. And most pilots, which I found out from Ray, they have the knowledge of Morse code. So what he did is he took the microphone and transmitted the recording to 747, say where he could get it, and they had to look in the manual, but they figured out the Morse code. He relayed the coordinates and they got help. So this is what amateur radio is all about.
That's one of the many things that the amateur radio is about. What a lot of people don't realize too, Al, is that a lot of the modern conveniences, you know, the computers and some of the, well, a whole bunch of different things have come about because of ham radio operators. You know, they get over on their test bench and think, well, let's see if I can do this, and get to playing with something, and all of a sudden they come up with it working, and you know, they let somebody else know about it, and then it just blossoms into something else. But the electronics have come a long way just because of ham radio operators that have been on their playing on their workbench and just experimenting and trying to do this and trying to do that. Draw up a circuit and see if it would actually work.
Plus thing is too, but we also have to remember, when major modern communications fail, the old vacuum tube stuff will still work. And I think a lot of people forget that point. And people don't realize that all you have to use all three systems sometimes, but we'll get to that another time. But yes, you're right. But the thing is, everybody forgets about, like, for instance, one of my friends in Connecticut, they had battery backup and all the power, cell phone power. Didn't have enough battery backup, they all failed, so no one could get communications anywhere, which is what I said was going to happen. Anyway, here or there. But the point is, you know, people ignore simple basics. One of my friends goes, no one uses vacuum tubes. I said, oh yeah? I said, let me tell you something, buddy boy. I said, YFM channel 4 is a good example. Not the frequency on channel 4 used to use 50,000 watts years ago, but they can't do that no more because they need higher frequency. And the digital isn't as good because if it's the same meter, is it there or not there? So now they got to run a million watts to do the same thing with Foxtrot. So, welcome to fueled in the sink. They use the European communication systems in America, but we're a lot bigger than Europe. So anyway, but that's neither here nor there. But that's what's interesting. I figure you get a kick out of that.
What they say, some people think that the more power they put out, the better off they are. But I got a thing on Facebook the other day. There was a ham operator. He got on 40 meters it was 40 watts or might have been less than that. And he was talking to Belgium or someplace over across the water. And so that just proves one thing. You don't necessarily need all the power that's available. But that, in the book, it says use the least amount of power that you need. Use enough to make a contact, but don't use any more than that. Use the least amount of power that you need. And, we get carried away with our big foot warmers and all this other stuff.
Channel 4 is using a million watts because they couldn't do it without it. I'll talk to you that sometime when I talk to you. I know the reason why. I talked to YF, the chief engineer, and he told me, I'll get into it someday. I had to use an energy filled hard line, and it's a million watts at the transmitter, which is because they couldn't get the coverage area. They're still having trouble with it.
I understand that. It could be that it's one of those RF dead spots too. They could move it 5 feet over and it would work perfect, or may not be that way. But there's too many variables, Al.
Engineer told me, he said, the problem is it's just because with digital equipment it doesn't get scratchy; it just goes out. That was the problem that they're having. And so they said they couldn't do it with less power. And I'm sure that that's why. But that's what he said. And, but it's interesting. You know, that's interesting that that happened.
And, we learn things every day.
When you guys are messing around with RF on the, you never had power before because they never had to run that kind of power before. That's why I want to work with you and Dave. I'd love to help solve it.
What we can do, I don't know. That's something to think about, though.
I'm always interested when I see things like that. I like solving problems like that. I'll tell you something else funny. A friend of mine had cured cancer all the time. And guess what he found out? Fine, when I tell you. 1500 kilohertz on AM with low power is the frequency that cancer doesn't like.
A good thing.
Sorry, the American Medical folks says he can't use it, but I've asked him, and he does it all the time, and he's cured. He's cured probably 50 or 100 people with it.
But cured one with it, I guess that makes it worthwhile.
What they did, they put isotopes in it, and what the isotopes, they find a type of cancer, which here's the thing I didn't know, and you probably do. I didn't realize that light would glass. Light, if you take light and shine it through glass, it goes a long ways. I never knew that, but he said that that's how they're doing the chips, because they can take the chips. Once they know what frequency they want to go at, you can take a little bit of light and shine it through a whole lake. But with RF and laser, it's the same thing, because it's all related, which is pretty funny, because I never thought about it until, because I can't see it. But I thought that was pretty interesting, and I didn't know if you knew that.
That, Al.
The transfer is getting a little hot, and hopefully Ray has... I really respect Ray. Always, you know, I learned a lot from Ray. If it wasn't for Ray, I would never have done some of the stuff I've done, because he always... The thing about the transfer is little pieces, and then you can go at it and figure it out easy. And I was tuning up a transfer. I got a transfer one time with a bad tube, and I knew what it was. I couldn't find it, and I couldn't tune it. So I said, you know what? I'll take the 706 next to it with the transfer on dummy load, and I'll listen to it on the antenna. And guess what? I was able to take the driver just using the 706 to strong the signal by the S meter on it, and I said, okay, I got it. So then when I went to tune the file, I said, no, I can't read the meter. I said, well, you know what I'll do? I said, I'll listen to the receiver for loading, and as soon as it receives pretty good, we'll try it. So I got a hold of Ray, and he said, you know what, you got it. That's one thing I learned a lot from Mike AF4NX.
That have gone on before us, Al, that have taken a lot of knowledge with them.
So I'm going to see if I can't get Kevin Stalin. He's one of the ones I learned a lot. I mean, he gave me a real fast press work. But if you ever work with Kevin, he's crazy to work with.
With him, but I sat and talked with him quite a bit, and he was a crazy feller.
Dude, which is the first time I worked with him, probably not. He said, how many transfers are there? I said, we got all these parts, we got about 20 things at once. Let's start all of it at once. I said, what, are you crazy? But you know what? He took everything apart at the same time. I said, what, are you crazy? But in 2 days, we had 90% of them nailed right down. I was like, wow.
Good thing, he knew what he was doing.
You get going so you can get your coffee. But I think Ray's going to get a laugh out of it because I did find a copy of the handbook, but one day we'll get together and we'll see if we can help with it come back a little bit. And I'll write it down in Braille with a piece of paper and see if we can figure something out to make this thing fly. Later, have a good night. I think we're going to get some more rain tomorrow.
I don't know if we will or not, but we ain't got control over it, so that's a good thing. If we get rain, that's fine. If we don't, that's fine, and whatever else. But I'll bet you one thing, or I can guarantee you one thing, we will have 100% chance of weather tomorrow. I don't know what it will be, but we will have weather. You take care, Al. We'll talk at you a little bit later. Additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet from Blue Ridge to Mirnet. Call KI-4 DOS.
DOS. 10 Kilo 4, Victor, Kilo November. K4VKN, this is Alan in Piedmont, and I'll be negative and negative. Hey, Gary, and everybody on the net.
To Alan, K4VKN, Mr. Alan down there in Piedmont. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Alan. J4SUG, Ray, you back around?
Yeah, I'll give you a quick rundown on how the repeater came to be, Gary. Some years back, I'm not going to try to remember the exact dates. We had a lot of heavy rain, and we had flooding conditions up here on the road going up to Caesar's Head up there in the valley. And the rain was still coming, the water was getting higher, and they wanted some emergency communications up there. Well, the 2-meter repeater was not available then. We didn't have one. So some of us dismantled our ham shacks and loaded up our equipment and hauled it up there to the high school and set it up in the auditorium of the high school. We had to put up antennas. We put up antennas on the roof of the high school, and it pouring down rain and a thunderstorm. You can picture that if you want to get a thrill. But anyhow, we got it up and running, got it working, and we did furnish communications from Slater Marietta High School back into the Red Cross building in Greenville, and from there to the various organizations that needed to get the information. We made it work, and that was beginning of the Blue Ridge 2-meter net and the Blue Ridge 2-meter repeater, because the next club meeting we had, Bill McCullough, he was the emergency coordinator then. We got to talking about what we had to do to get that system working, and decided, well, somebody said, well, why don't we build us a repeater? Somebody said, that's a good idea. Why don't we do that? And we took a vote on it and said, we'll build us a repeater. And we started collecting equipment, and the most of it was donated, and the people that donated it are long gone now. I'll get into that on a later date. But most of the equipment was old surplus gear that the railroads had used for their communication systems. And we modified it, put it together, and packed it, and made the Blue Ridge 2-meter repeater, 0161 repeater out of the oven.
That's right. Well, I for one am glad you folks homebrewed a 2-meter repeater, got it up and running. And thanks to the repeater committee we got now, takes care of the repeater and the antennas and stuff. Those fellows do a good job, and we appreciate them very much.
We owe a vote of thanks to WFBC and the Channel 4 people down there. They gave us a spot on that tower to put the antenna. And that was really the heart of making it work to start with. We had a good starting place. Those people have worked with us all these years. They've been good as gold, and I think they deserve a vote of thanks over
it. Great. No doubt in my mind about it. And our hats off to them, and we do thank them sincerely for letting us be a part of their antenna system up there, their tower, and letting us put our little antenna on the side of their tower where we could help out with some communications when needed. A lot of times I don't think we give back to them enough sometimes, Ray, but, just give them a heartfelt thank you and let them know that we really do appreciate it. It goes a long way.
Yeah, it sure does. Just to let them know that we haven't forgotten what they did for us. And I'm going to get off here, Gary. I done talked too much already tonight. We'll see you a little bit later. I'm going to the coffee pot.
We do appreciate it. And we will look forward to the history of the repeater again one of these days in the near future. I think there's a lot of folks, not just Richard, but a lot of other folks that would like to hear that again. And there's a lot of them that haven't heard it to begin with, so I think that would be a good thing to do. But you and Miss Edie have a good one. Go get you a cup of coffee, and we will talk to you a little bit later. We have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS. One for comments. Is there anyone else that would like to make a comment? Call KI4DOS.
4DOS, I'd like to make a comment. Alaska 4, Juliet, Kilo Victor, Duncan in Asheville. I'm a new ham. It's about almost 3 months now, and I checked into a lot of nets, and I've listened to radio all throughout the day and try to listen to as much nets as possible. But and I checked into tonight's net, the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. But the Rag 2, it was just two people, and Ray listened to him. I could listen to him all night long. He should have his own channel. And gets me a little misty-eyed because he was talking about history and books, and I had no idea that this was the oldest 2-meter net in the country. And I'm just blown away. And I don't want to have a long, I'll answer questions, but I just wanted to drop that right there. Much respect. 73-0-QO4JKV.
And we appreciate the comments there, young man. Come back anytime. We'd love to have you. I'd love to talk to you. I don't have as many rag tours as some of the other controllers do because I have the swap net. And time is a concern for some folks. They got to go to bed, get up early, go to work, and this sort of thing. So we understand all of that. But glad you were able to come in. Congratulations on your license. Hope you really enjoy the hobby. Well, if you enjoy it half as much as I do, you'll have a great time. But I really enjoy it. It's a whole lot of fun. And as Ray says, it's a license to learn because there's all kinds of different ways you can go with it. And, just standing there mashing a button on a microphone is part of it, but that's not all of it. But, Duncan, you have a good evening. And, again, we appreciate the comments.
I appreciate that. And I understand I'm new to this hobby, but I have been an audio engineer and a photographer for both over 30 years. I'll be 50 in January, so I'm no spring chicken. I know I have a young voice, but I've probably spent about $30,000 in photography gear. And so I know how the ham, it's a new thing. And and I was also a musician, but I cut two tendons in my hand in the last fall. And so I couldn't play music anymore, so I had to sell everything. So I decided to get into ham radio because something my dad said to me a long time ago. But long story short, much respect for the craft and the fact that I got to hear Ray say what he said tonight really, really hit me hard. So much respect. 73s, everybody. Kilo Oscar 4, Juliet, Kilo Victor, Duncan, and Esther.
Okay, Duncan, will you come back as often as you can? We'd love to have you a different net controller each night. I just happen to be the one on the hot seat on Wednesday nights, and I've been doing it here on Wednesday nights for about 14 years, or maybe a little longer, somewhere in that neighborhood. But I hadn't missed many Wednesday nights. I have missed a few, but I've also picked up some that we've swapped around where if I had something to do or whatnot. We swapped net control nights, and it's been fun, and I've enjoyed it, and I'm continuing to enjoy it. Just getting to meet people like you on the radio and some of the newer folks, and and some of the older folks as well. You know, we sit back and get to reminisce a little bit, so it's all good. But Duncan, you take care up there in Asheville. Y'all be safe, and we'll talk to you a little bit later. Additional check-ins or additional comments for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call KI4DOS. DOS.
Check-in, Kilo November 4, Uniform Papa Yankee. KN4, UPY, Anson, and Anderson, I'll be mobile. Thanks for calling that. Good evening, everybody on that 73.
Recheck.
Be right back to you. Never like to say good evening. KN4 UPY. Mr. Anson down there in Anderson on the mobile. Appreciate you being with us. You be careful out there on the mobile. Have a safe trip. Recheck, go ahead.
KF4DOS, K4ZZX. I could have used Duncan about a half hour ago. Just got through changing mics on the computer, get a broadcast mic on this. I'm trying to find out what it sounds like. It's the first time I'm using it out of the box. See if I need to fine-tune it or anything.
Sounds like you. It sounds like you're sitting here in the room with me.
Well, I'm hoping that it's going to eliminate some of that third-party traffic. It's got a unidirectional design on it, on the pickup, so I'm not picking up a lot of other background noise. Just wanted to make sure, see if I needed to turn any knobs or flip any switches or anything like that. Of course, I don't do that anymore. I got a computer. I have to do it on the screen nowadays, you know.
Comment. Well, you're sounding good there, Steve. No problem. Comment, go ahead.
Yes, Steve, this is Duncan. I'm still here, and the audio sounds really good. I can tell it's a good microphone. Getting good tonal range. I'm getting static, but it might just because I'm working a Mickey Mouse rig on my end. Because I'm hearing static on everyone, but it sounds good. KO4 JKP.
Well, there you go, Steve. Got another fellow. I give you a good audio report. That was Duncan from up there in Asheville. So that new microphone's doing you a good job there, young man.
Back with it almost 11 o'clock. You not only got first and second shift, but you got third shift tonight. So this is K4ZZX. I'm clear on your final gear.
Steve, well, that's not, it's a little unusual here lately, but I think the longest net that I called, it started at 9 o'clock, and I closed it out about 12:15 one night. It's all good. We enjoy it. And like I said, if it weren't you folks out there in radio land, we wouldn't have an ed anyway. But appreciate it, Steve. You take care. The microphone's sounding good. Additional check-ins or additional comments for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call KI4DOS. Sounds like it's going to wrap it up for this evening. I'll put my net report into the computer and then let it do its thing, and then we'll finish closing the net out. Folks, we had a grand total of 53 check-ins tonight. Appreciate each and every one of you that came by and checked in, and those that ragged you, those that put stuff on the swap net, we appreciate all of that stuff. But in the meantime, y'all come back again tomorrow night, and Mr. Matt, WG4MC, will be calling. Give him a good dose of Rider's Cramp. We will now secure the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. But thanks for all those folks that have checked in with us. We will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless. This is KI4DOS, clear.